Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. We can find the show and the articles and archives and the newsletter and the blog. Lots of good stuff that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And don't forget to check out our knowledge base for small business owners. AskJim.biz, where you can get answers right now. So check that out, too. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come on in, hang out with us. Jeff Ruthvedder is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend. He's the author of McIlhenny's Gold, How a Louisiana Family Built the Tobacco Empire. The Tabasco Empire. And I already know that, folks, because I've actually been there. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here.
Thanks very much.
I actually have been to Avery Island, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taken a tour of the Tabasco operation.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time ago.
Yeah, it's a really interesting place, isn't it? It's a beautiful island with all kinds of flowers and trees, all planted by one of the founders of the company, actually the son of the founder of the company, and you know they've been making Tabasco there for what, close to 150 years.
Yeah,
and make it in one factory. And ship it right from out of there. It's an amazing.
It's
amazing,
not a big factory. It's not a big factory either, is it?
No, not at all. And
I mean, you'd be surprised when you see golf pros wearing Tabasco as one of their brands, and
yeah.
You see Tabasco on every table in just about every restaurant. It's not a white tablecloth restaurant around the country. You see Tabasco on there. You know what a huge brand it is. Then you drive up to the factory, and it's right there in front of you.
Well, I think right, exactly, and I think that's part of their genius, the McIlhenny family, is that they've created this international product that's sold in more than 100 countries and is popular. As popular as it is in the United States, it's more popular in France and more popular in Japan, and yet they've done it from such a simple operation, a small business and a family business that has thrived because they've kept it like that. They've kept it in an isolated island and focused on the business solely and not on going public or getting taken over by a large company. They've gotten lots of offers, from companies like Kraft and Campbell's,
right.
and so on. So they've.
I'm sure they have. Yeah, I bet they've been courted many times, haven't they?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And now though, of course, and this happens to all family businesses. Now they're in their fourth generation. Well, most family businesses don't make fourth generation.
Right.
So, but they did. In fact, I have a stat in the book. That only 0.003% of family businesses get to the fourth generation.
Right, let alone thrive in that generation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But now they've got 200 people around the country, 200 McIlhenny heirs, who all get a piece of the business. So
it's got to be an incredibly profitable business because, as I say, folks, I've seen the operation. They're not like 1,000 people processing this stuff, and it's. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people, creating the products that go into the Tabasco sauce. But this has got to be an incredibly profitable company.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's so.
Did they open up any of the books to you at all?
No, I mean they didn't open up at all to me. Which is the other interesting thing about the family is that they're, because they're island dwellers.
They didn't bless this book.
No, not at all. Which I think made the book better. As a journalist, and this is my sixth book. I like to work independently, as it were. And had they blessed the book, they would have wanted to read it before it came out.
Right.
It would have been all kinds of conditions, but. No, they didn't, and part of the thing about the McIlhennys is they're very protective of their name,
they're secretive, too, in a lot of ways, aren't they?
Oh, incredibly secretive, and the only publicity they ever get is publicity they put out, They'll have an event on
isn't
on
that
the island.
Isn't that part of the business model, the mystique of the whole thing? I mean, isn't this smart business?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely smart business. I mean, the other interesting thing about Tabasco sauce is it's a premium product. You know, you pay more for Tabasco sauce than
right.
for most other hot sauces. And as you probably know, and probably many of your listeners may not know, though, is that they're the only ones that can use the word Tabasco. They own that name.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
let me stop you for a second, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Folks, one of the things that I've been talking to my audience about now for many years mm-hmm. is the power and the value of intellectual property, the mm-hmm. power and value of owning intangible assets like mm-hmm. like a name, like
right.
a brand, like a logo. And folks, think about this. Think about what would have happened. You know, as you know, Jeff, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, intellectual property wasn't on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Right,
but way back then, these people were protecting the concept of Tabasco, and look what it's done for them.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting. I spend a lot of time in the book talking about that. I have a chapter on intellectual property, and
mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I talk about in the book the fact that, you know, companies like Bayer, for instance, gave up the name aspirin when that was their product and they could have owned it. There are many other examples of that as we go through history. But the great companies like Coca-Cola, you know,
right.
and Tabasco, they held on to their names, and they knew that that's a differentiator, that it's
right.
theirs, and they could all and so because they McElhaney's kept the name Tabasco, they could keep that as a premium product. You know, they're the only ones that make Tabasco sauce, and so they charge a little bit more, and they say we're a little bit better or a lot
and
better.
And the thing is there's nothing complicated about the formula, is there?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's vinegar, salt, and peppers, crushed peppers. And so you're absolutely right about the profit margin. I mean, their profit margins are in the 50-60%. It's remarkable.
Oh, yeah. Which is unheard of for a manufacturer, especially
yeah.
especially of commodities.
Right. No, exactly. And again, you know, that's part of their genius. They've made sure, you know, it's really interesting. They came out basically the same year as Heinz opened up their doors, another family business that
right.
you know that has lasted this long, except they're not a small family business anymore. But ketchup, which came out at the beginning around that same time, has become a commodity.
Right.
You know, anyone can make ketchup.
And everybody and a lot of you and I could start a ketchup factory tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
And call it ketchup. Stand
right.
by, Jeff. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jeff Rothvetter. He is the author of McElhaney's Gold. We're talking about the history of the Tabasco product and the family that created it. Stay with us.
On the Jeff and Fred train, down at the station long. I don't care where it goes. Gonna climb a mountain. Shake it up, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
We're
back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend, Jeff Rothvetter. He's former Business Week, Time Inc., and Bloomberg News editor. He's written a number of publications. Maybe you've seen him on a number of the television shows, and he's the author of the new book, McElhaney's Gold, A Louisiana Family, How a Louisiana Family Built the Tabasco Empire. And as I said earlier, I've been to the factory. I've been to the island. It is an idyllic island. It's just a beautiful place to go. But it's almost surreal, isn't it, when you drive up down there, Jeff?
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. Well, you know, one thing, of course, is that the island kind of stands up, is elevated out of the Gulf of Mexico,
right.
because it's sitting on a hill of salt. It's sitting on salt. It's literally a projectile out of the Gulf. Sitting on salt, so this salt mm-hmm. is far down as you can go, and that's what the McElhaney's use to make Tabasco sauce. They use their own salt there, so that's essentially free to them also.
Right.
And the island is absolutely beautiful. I mean, the fact that, which is another sort of quirky piece of the McElhaney story, the fact that, you know, they make Tabasco sauce on that island and ship it, you know, all over the world, and yet when you're on that island, you know, there are all kinds of trees and flowers and plants and there's a Buddha and, you know, just things taken from all over the world that were
yeah.
brought there.
And it doesn't, yeah. I mean, you've got to travel to a little tucked away place on the island
mm-hmm.
to even find any sign of industry.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. That's sort of, you're right, tucked off to the side, and then the whole island itself is this incredible flora and fauna, you know, all over the place. I mean, I sat there one day working on the island, you know, doing some reporting, interviewing people, and saw at least four or five alligators, that came out of the swamp.
Well, now, Jeff, let me ask you, how many of the McElhinneys did you talk to?
Well, I spoke to about 30, 40 family members.
Right. Any of the company leadership?
Now, the company leadership just wouldn't talk. That's their secretive approach. But I actually spoke to, you know, in terms of leadership, people who were top management, like the vice president of accounting, the vice president of agriculture, who had recently left the company, people like that. People who have worked for something as interesting as that love to talk about it. I mean, they don't want to keep their mouth shut about it. So I was able to get a lot of people to interview a lot of people, and I've definitely got the definitive story about the McElhinneys and Tabasco sauce. I mean, no one else has written anything like this.
Well, now, by the way, folks, if you want to go there, you got to go to Lafayette, Louisiana, which is between Baton Rouge and Lake Charles. And what is that, I-10, I-12,
right.
I always forget which one.
That's I-10,
and,
yeah.
I-10, and turn south. If you're going west, turn south, and you go, and you'll go through I've forgotten the other couple of little towns there, but then you go to Avriata, and it's a great little trip. If you're down that way, you should go by and visit. Jeff, what can we learn? What can the small business owners learn, in your opinion, those of us who are out here? We may not have a 140-year-old, 150-year-old family business, but we've got a family business of some kind. It may be the first generation. Mm-hmm. What can we learn from the McElhinney family?
I think the main thing that people can learn, and what fascinated me the most, is keep the business simple. You know, so many businesses go into business. In fact, I've seen this interestingly recently up in a place in Maine with a small business that was an incredible hardware store that did really, really good business on an island. And they decided they had to expand into selling housewares and selling kinds of electronic equipment, and they got killed, you know. And what the McElhinneys have done is they've got a simple business model, is they really make only Tabasco sauce. Now they've got a few offshoots of it, but till very recently it was only Tabasco sauce.
Right.
And it's made of three simple products. They ship it out of one factory and have distribution agreements with individual people at different places, just one distributor around the country, around different countries, and so it's really remarkable.
They don't have a lot of moving parts, do they? You know,
no.
I keep thinking of Occam's razor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The simplest solution is usually the best one.
That's right.
Or my grandmother's razor, which would be stick to your knitting.
right.
And that's what they did. And their only truck with any kind of sophistication, the outside world, other than just buy my stuff, is where they've gone big time with some of the branding that they've done.
Right, exactly.
You see golf pros wearing Tabasco on their shirts.
But that gets back to the intellectual property rights too, though. The fact that they've kept that name means they can do stuff like that and make a little bit of side money on it.
Right.
And promote the product.
A little bit of side money. That's funny. Well, I got about a minute, Jeff. What else would you like to tell us about this family and about their success?
Well, I think the other thing is that they didn't also kind of get stuck in the business. I mean, as you read the book, you'll see that all of the family members that have run the business all had very, very interesting outside interests.
Right.
You know, they traveled a lot and they learned a lot. And so they became kind of bigger than life, and as they did business, they were sort of celebrities as well. And that really helps. Not that everybody can do that, but the point is, you know, the point is to get out a little bit as well, you know.
And you know, you call some of the leaders of the company eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you something. They're only eccentric if you leave the Acadia area of South Louisiana.
Yeah.
In South Louisiana, they're normal.
that's true.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for being here. Tell us where the book's available, please.
Well, the book's available everywhere. Actually, today it just came out. Oh, they can go on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
We're glad to help you launch it on the show. I hope you'll come back again another day and let's talk about this some more.
Sure. Thanks very much.
The book is called McElhinney's Gold, and it's about the Tabasco family. You can see the Tabasco, an image of the Tabasco bottle right there on the cover, folks, and that's by Jeff Rothfeder. Quick break. Right back with Steve Preston, the administrator of the SBA. Stay with me. You know the first time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.